Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. You may remember a couple of weeks ago, two or three weeks ago now, the last time I spoke, I talked about the hope being an anchor for the soul. You know, we looked a little bit about what hope is, hope and faith. And I want us to consider a question this morning. And it's this, do we sometimes feel, like I'm sure we do, that we can pray for something for ages and it never seems ever to get the prayer answered? You know, we never seem to get the fulfillment of a promise. I know some of you may have heard it, although he hasn't mentioned it for quite a while now. You know, Dad heard a word from God, you know, quite a few years ago, long before I was born. And if I tell you that I'm 44, then I'm 45, it tells you how long ago it was. You know, God spoke to my dad and gave him a promise, which he's still waiting for that to come to pass. He's been hanging on, trusting God for probably what is now nearly 50 years. Actually, I can tell you when it was exactly 50 years. I think it was 1961. If you are, you have to ask him, he'll tell you. About what God is going to do. You know, sometimes we can be waiting on so long that we perhaps sometimes think that God has forgotten us. You know, I preached a message a few years ago, and I think it's on the website. You can download it if you want to listen to it. You know, and it was called something like, "This is not what you promised. God, this is not what you promised." Sometimes we often forget to say that. You know, God, this is not what you promised. You promised me this, you promised me that, but where is the fulfillment of the promise? We prayed about it for years. We stood after God about it. But as time marches on, time moves on, very often we sometimes feel further away from our answer than what we were when we first began. You know, when God spoke to us, when God revealed to us something, when God ministered something to us, you know, we felt like it could happen at any moment. You know, God would just come through and answer the prayer. God would come through and fulfill that promise that he gave to us. You know, with the passing of time, sometimes our hopes, our aspirations, our dreams, they pass away as well. Well, this morning I want us to know that those dreams, those hopes, those aspirations, those promises, you know, are still very much alive as far as God's concerned. You know, we're going to go to, if you've got Bibles, you want to come with me to the book of Genesis chapter 12. Now in Genesis 12, we're going to read the first 7 verses. We read of a man, a well-known man in the scriptures, a man we often quote and often mention. And that man's name was Abraham. Now, before God changed his name to Abraham, he was known as Abram. And that's where we're picking up the account in Genesis 12. And in Genesis 12, verse 1, it says this: "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get out of your country, from your family, and from your father's house, to a land that I will show you. I will make you a great nation. I will bless you, and make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse him who curses you. And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed.' So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken to him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. Then Abram took Sarai his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their possessions that they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran. And they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. Abram passed through the land to the place of Shechem, as far as the terebinth tree of Moreh. And the Canaanites were then in the land. Then the Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your descendants I will give this land." And there he built an altar to the Lord who had appeared to him. Now there's a couple of things we notice in that reading. One, God appeared to this man, Abram. And God told this man that he was to up and leave his home, to leave his father's house, to leave everything that he was familiar with, to leave his comfortable surroundings. And he said, "I want you to go." And God didn't even tell him where he was going. He just said, "Look," he said, "I want you to go to a land that I'm going to show you." In other words, he says, "Abram," he says, "I want you to get up." He says, "I want you to move. I want you to go," he says, "and you'll know when you get there." Now, there's not many of us make journeys like that. Normally, before we make a journey, we've already made a decision as to where we want to go. We don't often, particularly nowadays in the price of fuel. We don't just get in our vehicles, our cars, our vans, whatever we've got, and we just drive and see where we end up. Or we don't just jump on a bus and tell the driver, "Just take me anywhere you want me to go." If you said that to a taxi driver, he'd be rubbing his hands. "Just take me anywhere. I don't care where. Just take me somewhere." We normally have an idea as to where we're going. But Abraham didn't have any clue. All he had was this word from God to get up and leave his home. And God says, "I will show you the land when you get there." And then he made some great promises to Abram. And he said, "Look," he said, "I'm going to make you a great nation." He said, "I'm going to bless you and make your name great. You shall be a blessing. I'm going to bless those who bless you and curse him that curses you." It says, "And in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Have you ever thought about that statement? "In you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." We're not talking about all the families in a village or a city or a town. We're not even talking about all the families in a local neighborhood or a district. Not even all the families of a country or a continent. "In you, all the families of the earth shall be blessed." Now the Bible goes on to tell us something very important about Abram. It says in the next verse, in verse 4, it says Abram was 75 years old when all this took place. When God spoke to Abram, and Abram got up and did what God said. He left his father's house. He took his wife Sarai and his nephew Lot with him. And a few of the herdsmen, because he took a few cattle with him. He took a few things with him, a few of his possessions. So he took the shepherds that looked after them. And so those are just a few of them that left. And Abram was 75 years old. Now, I don't think the Is anybody of that age here this morning? I think we're all under that. So there's hope for us. You know, God can use us. Now one thing you find as you begin to read through Genesis is you find that for many years God began to repeat that promise to Abram. Yes, I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to make your name great. You'll be blessed. You'll be a blessing. Every family of the earth will be blessed in you. Let's just turn over a couple of chapters to chapter 15. Don't spend. I want to read this. Don't want to do a lot of reading this morning, but I just want to read these first few verses here in chapter 15. It says, after these things, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision, saying, do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. But Abram said, Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the heir of my house is Eliezer of Damascus? Then Abram said, look, you have given me no offspring. Indeed, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him, saying, this one shall not be your heir, but one who will come from your own body shall be your heir. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to them, so shall your descendants be. And Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness. Then God said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldeans to give you this land to inherit it. And he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? See, what we have here is God has been speaking to Abram all these years, promising him that he's going to make him a great nation, promising him he's going to make his name great. You know, and I'm guessing Abram was getting to the point now where, like some of us, said, well, God, you keep saying you're going to do this, you keep saying you're going to... When is it going to happen? When are you going to answer your promise? When are you going to fulfill your promise? When are you going to do what you told me you was going to do? We've been praying about it for years. We've been seeking you for it for years. Isn't it about time, God, you came through? We get like that. Perhaps we don't want to admit it, but we get like that. God, when are you going to answer my prayer? When are you going to do what you said you're going to do? When? That's because we've gotten by this little thing that we keep on our wrists. You know, we see it, ticks around a few hours, and you know, might turn a few pages on your calendar, and you think, when? And this is what happened here in this reading in Genesis 15. God came to Abram and says, look, he says, Abram, he says, I am your shield, your exceedingly great reward. And Abram says, oh, hold on, God, he says, enough. You've been saying that for years. He says, what are you going to give me? Because at the moment, he says, everything I've got is going to go to my servant. Everything I've got is going to go to him. He's my only heir. You keep promising me that I'm going to be great, a great nation. I'm going to be the father of all the families in the earth are going to be blessed in me. He says, how can all the families, I haven't even got one of my own. When God. And God spoke to Abram. He said, look, he says, forget your servant. He's not going to be your heir. He says, one born from your own body will be your heir. One that comes from your own body. In other words, Abram, he says, look, you're going to have a child of your very own. It's not going to be some servant that's in your employ. It's not going to be someone that you just associated with. You're going to have an heir that's of your own flesh and blood. And then it says something important that we need to grasp this morning. Because when will we enter into the promise of God? When will we enter in and receive what God has promised us? Well, in verse 6 it says this, "And Abram believed in the Lord, and he accounted it to him for righteousness." In other words, Abraham trusted what God said, even though he'd been waiting many years, even though God had been promising him for many years. Abraham still believed when God spoke to him, he believed what God said. And God, it says it here in Genesis 15, it says it in the New Testament, it says he accounted it to him for righteousness. In other words, Abraham's trusting God qualified him to be an inheritor of the promise, inheritor of the blessing. He was made acceptable. His faith was accounted to him for righteousness. I just want you to listen to the words of the Apostle Peter, preaching to the household of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. In Acts 10 verse 34 it says this, "Peter opened his mouth and began to say, 'In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality.'" In other words, God has no favourites. God's not a respecter of persons. "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality. But," now listen to these words, "in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." In every nation, doesn't matter what nation of the world you come from, doesn't matter what your background is, what your culture is, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. When Abraham believed God, it was accounted or accredited to him or reckoned to him as righteousness. And those who are righteous are accepted by God. Those who work righteousness are accepted. So Abraham was made acceptable. He was made accepted. He was made to qualify as a receiver of the promise, an inheritor of the blessing. You know, God always rewards faith. That's what Hebrews tells us. You know, those who, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But those who come to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who diligently seek him. We've got to remember that. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. God is a rewarder of those who diligently put their trust and their confidence in him. Now, last time we looked at hope. You know, looked at hope being a confident expectation that God is going to come through. Well, Abraham had this promise from God and he believed what God said. But again, like a lot of us, he had to turn a few pages on his calendar. He looked, well, he didn't have a wristwatch, but you know, the days ticked by. The months went by. And Abraham, I'm sure he got to the stage, "Well, oh God, when are you going to do it? Yes, you've made me another promise, God, when are you?" And then, Abraham had an idea. "I know what, I'll help God out. I'll help him out." You know, we get like that. We think God's promised us something. "Oh, if I just do this, that'll move me one stage nearer." We try and help God out. What did Abraham and Sarah do? Well, it's a long, complicated thing, but the short of it is that Abraham had a child with Sarah's servant. Sarah's bond servant. And a boy was born, and they called him Ishmael. Now this caused them a few problems, because this wasn't what God had promised. God had promised a child to Abram and Sarah. that they'd helped God out, they'd got involved, they put their own efforts in, they tried to sort it out, they tried to get the results that God had promised them, and they had a child that was born out of promise. So God steps in again in chapter 17. And he says, look, he says, I want you to notice verse 1 of Abram, chapter 17. When Abram was 99 years old. When he left Haran, he was 75, when God first spoke to him. So now you know, he's been waiting now 24 years for God to fulfill his promise. 24 years. When Abram was 99 years old, God appeared to him and said, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be blameless. I will make my covenant between me and you and will multiply you exceedingly. Then Abram fell on his face and God talked with him saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with you and you shall be a father of many nations. There's God again, repeating his promise. You will be a father of many nations. No longer shall your name be called Abram, but your name shall be Abraham, for I have made you a father of many nations. I will make you exceedingly fruitful. I will make nations of you, and kings shall come from you. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your descendants after you in their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be God to you and your descendants after you. Also I give to you and your descendants after you the land in which you are a stranger, all the land of Canaan, as an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. One thing we see about Abraham, and we talk about Abraham as this great father of faith. That's the title he's been given by the church, the father of faith. But we see Abraham messing up so many times. You know, he tries to help God out with his promise. And he messes up. He gets it wrong. And so what actually happens is God steps in now. He says, okay, Abraham, he says, I've got to do something about this because if I leave it up to you, you're going to mess everything up. So he says, what I'm going to do for you, Abraham, he says, I'm going to change your name. Now that's significant. God changed his name to Abraham. Now there's significance in the names. Abram means my father is exalted. My father is exalted. But Abraham means the father of many nations. Do you know your name has significance? You know, your name has a meaning. I don't know what it is. I know what mine is. Because every time Abram spoke, from then on, he began to call himself something different. Rather than saying, well, my father is exalted, when somebody asked what his name was, when they said, what's your name? He says, my name is Abraham. In other words, he said, I am a father of many nations. I am a father. You know, whenever people have said to me, ask me, what's my name? Now I might say, well, my name's Peter. But the meaning of that name, Peter, is rock. And I very often say this. What's one bit? You know, you often get asked, particularly if you go for things like interviews, or you're talking to people in your work, especially if you want to go for promotion or something like that, they'll ask you something, well, what do you think your strengths and your weaknesses are? And it's a question I hate to answer. And I think a lot of us perhaps are the same. You know, we don't like to, well, what am I good at? What's one of the things that make me glad? Very often one of the things I say is, and dependable and reliable. Why? Because that's what a rock is. It's a rock is a firm foundation. It's something secure. It's something upon which you can depend. So whenever I say my name, I am Peter, or I am the rock, what I'm saying is I am dependable. I am reliable. You can count on me. Because that's what my name means. You know, that's what Abraham began to say. Every time he spoke, every time somebody asked his name, he says, no, he says, I'm Abraham. I'm the father of many. Now he's getting back on track with his faith. Now he's beginning to rehearse God's promises. Yes, I'm the father of many nations. God's promised that. His faith is being established inside him. That was when he was 99 years old. He began to speak and declare what God had said. Just quickly this morning, just to finish with, I want us to go to the book of Romans chapter 4. So I want us to see three lessons that we can learn from Abraham. Romans chapter 4. Now we've gone through Abraham, we know all about Abraham, we know what he's done, we know things God has promised him, we know how he's believed the promises, how he's trying to help God out, how he's messed up, how he's got these questions which we all face. Now when we turn to Romans 4, we're going to start reading from. Just want to start reading from verse 17, and we'll pick up some things as we go through. It says here, Paul the apostle writing to the Romans. He reminds them. He's talking about Abraham. And he says, "Look," he says, "the Scripture says this," talking about Abraham. Says, "I have made you a father of many nations." That's what we just read in Genesis, where God spoke that to him. In the presence of him whom he believed, God, who gives life to the dead and calls those things which do not exist as though they did, who, contrary to hope, I forget last time we looked at hope, we looked at that confident expectation, who, against hope, when there was nothing to hope for, I didn't say this, but it's worth mentioning, Abraham was 75 when God spoke that to him. His wife Sarah was about 10 years younger than what he was. That was when God first promised him. Now they're already aged people, already elderly. In fact, Sarah could never have children even when she was younger. And then we read that when God changed his name, he was 99. And Sarah was about 90. She was getting... Now they're getting into beyond human possibilities. Even if Sarah could have a children, now she was beyond the point of childbearing. And so it says here, look, even when everything was against them, who contrary to hope, in hope believed. When there was nothing natural that they should hope for, they still believed God, that he would become the father of many nations, according to what was spoken, so shall your descendants be. Then in verse 19 it says this, and not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. You know, they didn't consider the problem. That's where a lot of us make the mistake. You know, we look at God, when are you going to answer this? When are you going to do this? When are you going to answer your promise? When are you going to fulfill your word? Because we're facing that question on a problem we're facing. We're looking at a problem, we're looking at a situation we're in. We're saying, when, God, are you going to sort this problem out? When are you going to do it? And Abraham did not consider the problem. He did not consider his body, which was now dead, for childbearing, for producing. He didn't consider Sarah's womb, even though she was barren. and unable to conceive. They didn't consider the problem. Then he said something else in verse 20. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief. He didn't consider the problem, and he didn't waver in his faith. He didn't stagger in his faith. He was not moved by the situation or by the circumstance, because he didn't even consider it. He was not weak in faith, we read that in verse 19, but he was strengthened in faith. And he gave glory to God. How did he not waver at the promise? How did he not stagger at the promise? How did he not, waver in his, you know what happens to the waves at the sea? They go up and you see them and, well, they don't, I'm not going to get into the science of it, but they don't actually go up and down, it's the currents in the water. But you see the waves, whenever you paint a sea, you always paint it as a wavy line, if you're at school. Very rarely do you paint it as a straight line, it's normally a wavy line. So you want to show it's the rippling of the water. A wavering is just that, it's going up and down, up and down. 1 minute, yes, God, you're able to do it. Next minute, God, when? Yes, God, you're able to do it. When? Yes, God, when? That's wavering. Staggering. You know what it is to stagger? Those of you that... I'm not trying to blow my own trumpet, but I must say, I've never done this, so I haven't got a clue what I'm talking about. But those of you that perhaps may have had a lifestyle where it involved a lot of drink, you know what it's like to stagger home from the pub on a night time. You can't walk in a straight line. You know, the nearest I got to it was on a ship going to France, or a boat going to France. Couldn't walk in a straight line, because the waves of the sea were like this. I zigzagged all the way along the boat. And I wasn't feeling the best of health at the time anyway. You know, because we're going backwards and forwards like this, and side to side. I didn't want to stay too far from the bathroom. But that's the staggering. You know, not able to go in a straight line. You're not being consistent where the promises of God are concerned. And didn't waver, he didn't stagger at the promise of God. He didn't say, yes, 1 minute, yes, God, I believe you're able. And the next God, he's asking, well, God, when are you going to do it? Because I'm in trouble here and I'm sinking. And then he comes back, well, yeah, I'm great, you know, things are going good. Then the next moment he's down, oh God, when are you going to answer my prayer? When are you going to come through for me? He remained steadfast in his faith. Why? Because God changed his name. And every time someone asked him his name, he said, yes. He said, I'm the father of many nations, or I'm Abraham. I am what God says I am. And that kept him straight. You want to learn any lesson this morning from Abraham? Learn that lesson. You know, to keep saying what God has said about you, or what God has promised you. Keep. Yes, I may not look, I may be in the problem right now, but God has said I'm coming out. And I'm not doubting God's word. I'm not doubting his promise. I'm not being moved by the problem. Yes, it might look bad, but God has given me a promise, and I'm going on. And I'm trusting God. I'm not weak in faith, but I'm being strengthened in my faith. I'm giving glory and I'm giving praise to God. The Bible tells us to hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, because he who promised is faithful. And then finally, it says here in verse 21, it says he didn't consider the problem, he didn't stagger at the promise. Verse 1 says he was fully convinced. Totally persuaded that what God had promised, God was able to bring to pass. That unwavering faith gave Abraham a cast iron guarantee that God was going to do what he said he would do. I like that. I just like that phrase there. Fully persuaded, or fully convinced, it says here in the New King James Version. Totally convinced, fully persuaded, nothing could move him. He's like, he's got his anchor in, that we looked at the other week, hope as an anchor. He's got his anchor in the seabed, and he's not being moved. He's not going to allow that little boat to be tossed about on the waves. He's got his anchor down. He's totally persuaded, fully convinced that God will do what he said he would do. And I think you'll find if you look in the Old Testament that it was very, very short time, a year or so afterwards, maybe 2 years after, just a very short time that God fulfilled his promise. Once Abraham got on track with what God had said. And then God gave him another challenge, which we won't get into this morning. After waiting all those years for God to fulfill his promise, God turned around and said to Abraham, a few years later, he said, Abraham, I want you to offer up your son. I want you to give him up. And the Bible shows and teaches that he remained the same through that as well. He was convinced. He was totally persuaded, because it says that the Bible says that Abraham considered it that God was able to raise him from the dead. If he had to kill his son, God would raise him up. That's the way Abraham looked at the promise. Isaac was the promise. Nothing was going to rob him of God's promise. So let's be encouraged this morning to, if there's only one thing we take from it this morning, let's take those three words. Consider not, stagger not, and be fully convinced. Because that's what calls you to inherit the promise of God. Maybe you've had to wait a few years. I know, as I said at the beginning, Dad's waited nearly 50 years, maybe a little bit more than that, for God to do something in this country. But if we don't consider the problem, we don't stagger at the promise of God, and we're totally convinced that God will come through, God has no option other than to answer that type of faith. Amen. I want you to be encouraged this morning that God is able to do what he said he was doing.